Okay, so the pasuk says in the Perikav Gimel, Svarta lechem et macharat haShabbat, miyom aviyachem et omer hatnufa. You should count, the Torah says. Mi macharat haShabbat. Right, the word Shabbat is problematic. Macharat haShabbat means the day after Shabbat. Miyom aviyachem et omer hatnufa. From the day that you bring the heave offering of an omer's amount. An omer is an amount, a solid measure. I don't know what it is, but I don't go for that. Sheva Shabbatot Tmimot Tiyena. Now seven Shabbatot. Here the word Shabbat probably means weeks. Sheva Shabbatot, 7 weeks. Tmimot. Tmimot means they're not missing anything. They're not blemished. They're complete. So look again at the pasuk. Usvartem lachem. That sounds reasonable. I could do that. Mimocharat haShabbat. We don't know what the word Shabbat means. Well, at least we're annoyed by the fact that we remember that when did we start counting the Sfirat HaOmer? The day after Yontif of Pesach. The day after Yontif of Pesach. So in other words, we have to say something. How do we get from Mocharat HaShabbat, which sounds like it's about Shabbat, to the day after the Yontif of Pesach? We see that in history, this was a big problem. Then we have Sheva Shabbatot Tmimot Tiyena, 7 weeks, Tmimot, full, unblemished, no cutting any corners. They shall be. You should count them. You should count them. The next pasuk says, Ad Mocharat HaShabbat HaShvi'it Tisperu Chamishim Yom, until after the seventh Shabbat. But here the word Shabbat means week. Must be. In other words, the word Shabbat can either be Shabbat, the seventh day of the week. It can mean a Shabbat, which is like a week. And it could also mean, as we will see, it can mean Yontif. Yontif is also called Shabbat. So the word Shabbat has those three potential meanings. And here in this pasuk, Ad Mocharat HaShabbat HaShvi'it. What is the Shabbat HaShvi'it? It could be the seventh week. Until after the seventh week, Tisperu Chamishim Yom, V'kraftem Mincha Chadasha L'Hashem. So in this difficulty, right, Rashi tries to give us a little direction. So what does Rashi say? Mimocharat HaShabbat, Rashi says, Mimocharat Yom Tov. Like, you know, There was this problem. There were Jews who said that you should start counting Sfirat HaOmer from the first Shabbat in on Pesach. In other words, if the first day of Pesach was Shabbat, then you would start counting the day after the first day. But if the first day of Pesach was Wednesday, so you wouldn't start counting until after Shabbat. Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, then to count. So there were Jews who did that, who felt that that was the simple meaning of the text, of the Torah. Like, there were Jews who started counting the day after Shabbat in Pesach. Those Jews were called Karaites. Karaites. Now, Karaites, it is not true that the Karaites disagreed with everything that the non-Karaites did, but they disagreed about some things. And one of them was this. So that means that according to the Karaites, on some years, Shavuot would come out several days later than it did for the Rabbanim. That's us. Okay? So Rashi says, solves the problem. Mimocharat HaShabbat, he says, Mimocharat Yom Tov. Mimocharat Yom Tov. What's Yom Tov? It's the first day of Pesach. Yom Tov refers to the first day of Pesach. So you start counting after the first day of Pesach. That's what we do, right? After the first day of Pesach, you know that in these Haggadot that are printed for consumption in Chutz La'aretz, they include Sfirat HaOmer on the second day, the second night. And that is, in other words, you have that anomaly. I don't want to be too confused, but you have this anomaly, right? That in Chutz La'aretz, you add a day. The first day of Yom Tov becomes 2 days of Yom Tov. Right? But Shavuot comes out on the same day for everybody. Right? Mm-hmm. So how could that be? So it only could be if on the one hand, you're adding a day of Yontif. But on the other hand, the second day of Yontif, you make believe that it's like the second day in Eretz Yisrael. Which is odd, but is good, because then everybody has Shavuot on the same day. And that's good. So that's Mimocharat HaShabbat. Then the Pasuk says, Sheva Shabbatot Tmimot Tiyena. Right? Tmimot. Right? We explained the word Tamim. Tamim means unblemished. Rashi says, what does it mean? V'lamei shematchil limnot mi ba'erev. Then when do you count the Omer? At night. Even though every day, like yesterday, is 32, right? Yesterday was 32. So it's 32 all day. And we know that if you didn't count at the beginning of the night, you can count at the later at the night. If you didn't count at night, you can count in the morning. But of course, there's a problem with whether you can say a bracha, you not say a bracha. I'm not going into that, but I'm just saying that Rashi says, what does tmimot mean? That you have to count at the beginning of the night. You have to count at the beginning of the night. Then the whole day is counted, so to speak. The whole day has to be counted. Tmimot tiyena. Melamed shemetchil umonev miba'erev. Sheim lo kein. Einan tmimot. If you don't start counting at the beginning of the night, einan tmimot, then they are not in this subgroup called tmimot. Right? So we know that according to the way we understand the halacha, that you start counting on the day after Pesach, chiyotiv of Pesach, and you count in the beginning of the evening. The pasuk says, "B'mocharat Shabbat Hashvi'i tisperu, v'lo ad bichlau v'hem arba v'teisha yom." He says, "You count 7 weeks," and Rashi tells us that 7 weeks is 49 days. Even though in the pasuk it says, "Tisperu chamishim yom," it says, "Count 50 days." So Rashi says, well, that can mean two things. It either mean you count up to 50, include 50, or you mean you count up to 50 and you don't include 50. I mean, that's like it's a fault in language. There's nothing you could do. So Rashi says, well, lo ad bichlau. Lo ad bichlau means you don't include the 50th day, right? Lo ad bichlau. Ve'ein arba'im. Yom. There are 49 days that you count. Even though the word chamishim is clearly stated in the pasuk, which sounds like it could mean that you count 50 days. But you don't count 50 days. The 50th day is Shavuot. It's another holiday. Chamishim yom. And then the crafted mincha chadasha l'Hashem, you should give a sacrifice mincha. The word mincha refers to a meal offering. A meal offering is like, you have a pan, and you put it in the fire and you put meal on it, you know, something like wheat, and it becomes edible after a while. Rashi says, "B'yom ha-chamishim takribuha." That's what you do on the 50th day. You know, Rashi says that the word chamishim has a place. It's not just to confuse us, because the pasuk says tisperu chamishim yom, which means you count 49 days. But tisperu chamishim yom also means that on the 50th day you bring a mincha chadasha l'Hashem. You bring this sacrifice. B'yom ha-chamishim takrivuha. V'omer ani, zehu midrasho. V'omer ani, zehu midrasho. Like, this is also something that you have to think about. Rashi makes a distinction in interpretation between pshat and drash, which we've discussed many times. Right? And it's not always clear to us what that distinction, how that distinction works. However, usually the halachic interpretation, according to Rashi, is pshat. And the word pshat could be substituted by correct. Right? Not the simple meaning that we think of today, like you read the words and whatever comes out, that's pshat. That's not generally Rashi's position. Now you have to distinguish between halachic material and non-halachic material. But when it comes to halachic material, Rashi usually says, pshat is the correct interpretation. And the correct interpretation is what Chazal told us. The halachic interpretation. That's the correct interpretation. So Rashi says, Avo pshuto, the pshat meaning, ad me mocharat ha-shabbat ha-shevi'it shu yom chamishim tisperu. Count until 50. Count 49 and then stop. Until 50. U'mikra misurasu. Mikra, Rashi had this idea that sometimes the word order in the Torah was misleading. And all you had to do, you were allowed to move it around like Lego. Right? There's a pasuk in Beshalach that talks about the man. The pasuk says, "Vayarom tolaim vayivash." If you left the man, like let's say you tried to save the man, so you'd have wanted a guarantee that you'd have man tomorrow. So you took more than the allocated amount. The allocated amount was per capita. There was a per capita amount that you were allowed to take. You took more than that. So what happened was it would turn bad and you wouldn't be able to eat it anyway. Right? That's what the pasuk says. And then what happened when it turned bad? Vayarom tola'im vayivash. The word vayarom means laharim, right? Up came tola'im. Tola'im are
worms.
Worms, tola'im. Vayiv ash,
right.
And it stank. Mm-hmm. It smelled, right? Vayarom tolaim vayiv ash. That's what it says in the pasuk. It became wormy and stinky, right? So the Rishonim asked Rashi, they asked this question: why does it say vayarom tolaim vayiv ash? Because usually, please don't argue about this. But usually it stinks first and then it becomes wormy. That's what everybody asks. Why does the Torah say? So there are two possible answers. One answer is that the Vayarom Tolaim Vayivash The word order is not important. But you can switch it around. It means, first there was ba'ash, right? Smell. And then there were worms. It doesn't matter. That's called sirus hamikra. You kind of undo what it says, and you reorganize the words in a more reasonable order. Something that we would have no difficulty doing with something that was written 400 years ago in English or 300 years ago. That's what we do all the time. Right? We automatically, in our minds, change the word order. Right? The other possibility, and Ibn Ezra says it, is that it was a miracle. It was like a miracle within a miracle. The first miracle was man, that there was such a thing. And the second miracle was that the order that we should know that it's God's will that it should turn rancid and bad. Right? That's what God wants. So it worked. You could see it, but you could see it's a miracle because first there were worms and then there was a smell. So the first option is sirus hamikra. You just move the words around. So that's what Rashi says here. Rashi says, mikra misarasu, that you should say, mibacharata shabata shvi'it, mibacharata shabata shvi'it, tisperu chamishim yom, that you should, that they are, Rashi says, Shehu Yom HaChamishim. You have to move the words around a little bit and you'll figure out that Ad, until the 50th day, does not include the 50th day. That's what Rashi's trying to tell us. Okay.
Why would the Torah deliberately choose a non-clear way of writing?
It's a question that has bothered me for 30 years. I have no idea. I mean, let me say this. Rashi never explains. Mm-hmm. Never explains that, what you ask. Can somebody explain something? Probably. But it's not obvious. It's not obvious. It's not clear. Rashi doesn't explain it. Usually the Ramban doesn't explain it. This is a problem. These are well-known problems. Okay, now we'll look at Dvarim.
Wait, one thing about the Mincha, when the 50th day, you don't bring that Omer.
No, the Omer you bring on the first day.
Oh, okay.
And the 50th day you bring a Mincha Chadashah.
Right. The Yom
HaOmer. Okay. So this is also reflected in the Rambam. You see the Rambam, the third source. The Rambam Hilchot Tmidim Umusafim, Perek Zayin, Halacha Kapet. The Rambam says this: Mitzvat Asei Lispo Sheva Shabbatot Tmimot. There's a positive commandment in the Torah to count 7 full weeks. Miyom Habaata Omer, from the day that you bring the Omer. Omer again is a solid measure. Right, it's an amount of stuff that you bring as a korban. Shneimar svardim lachem imacharat Shabbat sheva shabbatot. And the Rambam says the following. Mitzvah limnot hayamim im haShavuot shneimar tisperu chamishim yom. The pasuk, after all, says, if you go back to the pasuk, the first pasuk, pasuk tetvav, says sheva shabbatot mimot yena. It sounds like you count weeks, right? You have to count every week, and then it says tisperu chamishim yom. So that's why we count. That's how we count. What the Rambam says, yesterday was Shnayim Ushloshim Yom. Shnayim Ushloshim Yom. That's the number of days. And then we say Shehem, you know, Arba'a Shavuot, 4 weeks and 4 days.
Three.
What?
3 weeks and 4 days.
What?
No, it's four. I'm sorry. My math is deteriorating.
We what? I didn't get it.
No, my math skills are deteriorating.
Oh, your math skills. Well, it's a good thing you're out of high school. In other words, according to the Rambam, the Halacha makes a big deal out of this. There are other times that we count, but we never do this kind of counting. Weeks and days. I mean, after all, what difference does it make if you say 32 or you say 4 weeks and 4 days? And we all know it's the same thing. And yet, that's what the halakha demands of us. And the halakha says that this is implied in the pasuk that we learned. The Rambam. One more thing in the Rambam Kavbet, mitchilata yom monim, lefikach moneh balayla, milel shishasav v'nisan. And you count at the beginning of the next day, and the beginning of the next day is at night, and that's what tmimot means. The Rambam says it clearly, Rashi said it, right? We all agree. This is how you do the mitzvah. It's written in the Torah. The Rambam halacha kagim kagivul shalach v'lo manah b'layla manah b'yom ve'ein monim ele me'umad ve'im manah miyushav yetzav. So the Rambam says, teaches us two more halachot. Shachach v'lo manah b'layla manah b'yom. So that means what? Why do we have to count b'layla? What word tells me that I should count at night? Tmimot. So that means that even if it's not remote, you could still do it. You could still do that. Maybe it's a problem with the bracha or whatever, but you can count. When we say you can count, that means if I forget to count at night and I count in the morning, then the next night I can continue. Somehow the tmimot position is figured in. But there's another halacha. Now, if you were all Talmudists, what would you say? What do you mean, ein monim ele mu'umad? You only can count standing up. What did the Rambam mean to tell us? Take a guess. What did the Rambam mean to say? What do you mean, ein monim ele mu'umad? Okay. You're in shul, or you have with a minyan. Men, you usually try to do it with a minyan. Women is like a new thing that women count Sfirata Omer, which I'm definitely not against. I'm just saying it's a new thing. Your grandmothers did not count Sfirata Omer. So it means that the counting itself is of importance. You stand up because something important is happening. You take the Sefer Torah out of the Aron Kodesh, you stand up, right? Right, because it's important. It's something of significance. In other words, if you ask yourself the question, why am I counting? That's a question. Like, why am I counting? So the simple answer is, which I want to know when Shavuot is. But if what I want to know is when Shavuot comes out, then why should I stand when I count? I mean, every day that I count is insignificant. It's just a page holder. Like yesterday was 32, so today will be this. But it'll just get me to Shavuot. I don't have to know on each day what day it is. But if I say that you should count Sfirata Omer, that you should count the Omer standing, it means every day you're doing something that is meaningful. And that becomes the question, or a question. What is it that you are doing when you count Sfirata Omer? Now, there are other kinds of counting that goes on. For example, we count the month and determine the new month. Who does that? The Beit Din. For example, let's say nobody comes. There are no witnesses who say we saw the new moon. So we know that the month is either 30 days or 31 days, 29 days or 30 days, and then the new month. Who decides? The Beit Din decides. Who counts? They count. Do they count out loud from the last star of Rosh Chodesh? They don't. There are other counting. There are other counting. Like women count to determine Nida, right? They have to count out loud. They have to stand up when they count. Who ever heard of such a thing? It's like the Rambam sticks it in. You know, and the Rambam says you have to do it standing up. So if you're doing something important, so that means that counting does not only tell you when Shavuot comes out, but the counting itself is of some importance. Each day is important. The tmimot of it is important. All you have to do is figure out what's important about it. But we have an inference that says it's important. Okay? I haven't confused everything, have I? Halacha Kav Dalet. Mitzvah zo al kol ish li Yisrael, mikol makom, mikol zman, v'nashim, v'abadim, v'turim mimena. Right? What does this mean? The Rambam says, Mitzvah zo al kol ish bi Yisrael. Unlike Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh, somebody has to just tell me when it's Rosh Chodesh. I don't have to count the days of the previous month. That's why they have in shul, the memory of it. It's on Shabbos when they have Varchim Rosh Chodesh. Somebody gets up and says, oh, it's Rosh Chodesh. Right? We have this piyut that we say. But we don't say it every day. We don't say today is the second day of Iyar or the third day of Iyar. But here the Rambam says something that there's a mitzvah that is incumbent upon every person be Israel. Every Jew has got to do this mitzvah. So if every Jew has to do this mitzvah, so it's like a thing. It's not a nothing. It's a thing. So if you look back on top, there's this quote from the Or HaChaim. The Or HaChaim is in most Mikraot Gedolot, the old style Mikraot Gedolot, not the new one that put out by Moshe Rav Kook, but the old Mikraot Gedolot all have the Or HaChaim. The Or HaChaim says this. He says, what do you mean when it says Mimacharat HaShabbat? Ad Mimacharat HaShabbat. You see Pasuk Tetzayin. So he says, Perush Me'achshav Kodem Shetichnesu La'aretz. That Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to Bnei Yisrael in the parasha of Emor, right, two parashiyot before this one, B'chukotai. He said, do this, Svartem Lachem, you count. So the Or HaChaim says, well, that means, Me'achshav, Kodem Shetikansu La'aretz. I mean, when are they going to go into Eretz Yisrael? Theoretically, after the book of Vayikra. But it got messed up because of the Meraglim. But theoretically, their sojourn in the desert was over. In other words, they saw Eretz Canaan. They saw it on the horizon. Yes?
Yes.
So the Or HaChaim says that Moshe Rabbeinu told Bnei Yisrael, count now, even before you go into Eretz Canaan, before there's an Omer, before there's a Mincha Chadasha, and you can't do this, you can't do that, and there's no... There's no Beit HaMikdash. And yet, the Or HaChaim says, you have to do the mitzvah. which means another Rebbe that says that the mitzvah of Sfirat HaOmer is independent of where it gets you to. It's independent of Shavuot. It's true that at the end of 7 weeks you get to Shavuot, but it's not true that counting the Omer has no meaning. Counting the Omer has meaning. What that meaning is, basically. But it's clear that the Or HaChaim thought that there was meaning. Me'achshav kodem shenikatsu la'aretz b'macharat ha'shabbat u'cheneged achar b'yatam la'aretz amar miyom ha'biyachem. At first they're talking about now, and later on there's a special addition when they get to Eretz Yisrael according to the Or HaChaim. And that's why the beginning of the pasuk says, "The day after Shabbat, liyota mitzvah sheyishne az, v'she'en kem yom habiyachem shuachar bi'al ha'aretz." So he comes up with this remarkable idea that even though the counting of the Omer in the desert doesn't really get you anywhere, right? It's not like you have to know, but you should do the mitzvah. You should do the mitzvah of counting the Omer. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. That's what Moshe said. This is not, I mean, I'm not quoting the Or HaChaim because it changes the world, but because the Or HaChaim was sensitive to this idea that the counting was of special significance, and it didn't matter if you got anywhere or not. Now today, I just have to point out further as a little... not a caveat, but something like that. Today, this 50th day of the Omer, the 50th day of the Omer always comes out on Vav Sivan. Yes? That's for us as Shavuot. But in the olden days, right, there was no guarantee about what the date of 50 days after you start counting would be. So you really didn't know about Shavuot. I mean, you could figure it out. No, you couldn't figure it out. Because between Nisan, right, Pesach is in Nisan, there's Iyar and Sivan, two more months. Each month could be Male or Chaser, could have an extra day or could be limited, so that the 50th day after Pesach is unknown. So you have another idea that somehow you can't get to Shavuot unless you count 50 days. Why couldn't the Torah just tell us do Shavuot on Vav Sivan or on some other day, as the Torah tells us about the other Chagim? Pesach is on the 15th day, the 14th day, the 15th day of Nisan. Similarly, Sukkot. How come Shavuot? I mean, it's just a question. Shavuot doesn't have a date. There's no date in the Torah. Because the 50th day after Pesach, you don't know what day it's going to be. It could be Vav Sivan, it could be Hay, it could be Dalet, it could be Zion, it could be all kinds of days. Okay. So now, I found this Likutei Halachot of Rav Nosson. Remember Rav Nosson? Who was Rav Nachman of Breslov's great Talmud. And produced this very interesting work called Likutei Halachot, which is kind of a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, but very interesting, like different, not what you'd expect. So, all right, let's see if we can go through it. I'd like to get to, if you look at the 3, 4, 5, 6th line, the Zemam Shichim, you see the 6th line, there's a period in the middle, almost the middle of the line. Yes?
Yes.
So he says, "Vezeh mamshichim b'svira." This is mamshichim means to pull down, nimshoch. Right? They pull down with the svira by doing this counting. Shemitaknim adibur peh al yedei mitzvata svira kemuvan bekavanot. So he says this idea that when the Torah tells you to say something, there it's like giving you an opportunity to fix, to improve your speech. It was, you get the opportunity to say words, to speak words that are a mitzvah, and not just something that came to mind. So that's what he is saying. Al yedei mitzvata svira kemuvan bekavanot. The next line. Kol zeh ha'oskim b'seder ha'tfilah. All of this, this idea that speaking is, can be sanctified through a mitzvah. This is all. Askim b'seder ha'tfilah b'kol yom b'psukei dezimra. Right? Remember the davening starts with psukei dezimra. Now, what are psukei dezimra? I mean, usually prakim and tehillim. Right, sometimes just psukim from different places. So in other words, you say psukei dezimra, and then kriyat shema. That's the next part of davening, in the morning. Psukei dezimra, then kriyat shema, and then ubirchotav of kriyat shema. There are brachot that go along. Utvila. Tvila means shmona esrei. Right, so she'anu oskim ledaber befinu. We speak out with our mouths. Ha'emunah kedosha she'Hashem yitbarach bara et hakol. We somehow come to the conclusion that God created everything. Va'yedei zeh kol lelin yachad elyon betachton betachton be'elyon she'zeh bechinat. And he says, in this way, we include the Elyon Batachton, the upper with the lower with the upper. Now, what is he talking about? One of the great difficulties that the Kabbalists had, I don't mean only the Kabbalists, but I mean the Kabbalists certainly, they had this difficulty about why the world was created, sort of separating the heavens and the earth. Why was there a rakia? Rakia, firmament. It took me a long time to figure out what that word might mean. I still haven't got it. But rakia is a firmament. It's something which separates the heavens from the earth. In other words, when the world was created, it seems to be created with this annoyance, which we can fix by bringing the heavens into the world that we accommodate, right? The Al Yedei Zeh, I'll read it again. Al Yedei Zeh, Kol Elim Yachad, we include, right? Al Yedei Zeh is all the words we say when we daven in the morning. Kol Elim Yachad El Yom B'Tachton B'Tachton B'El Yom. We have the upper with the lower and the lower with the upper, right? As we create a different reality, right? Where there's no separation between heavens and earth. Ve'elyon shezeh bechinat shetzrichim lechlol midat laila bayom umidat yom balaila. And that is also, we look around and we say, look, there's something wrong here. There's night and there's day. Why should there be night and day? Why can't there be a reasonable resolution? And all day, 24 hours long, we should have enough light to kind of, you should have enough light, 24 hours a day, to be able to work and to be able to rest. Why do we need light, a lot of light, and darkness, a lot of darkness? Ki tzrichim lechlol yachad bechinat yom v'layla Shehei b'chinat chama v'levana. He says this idea of yom v'layla, of day and night, is connected, of course, to sun and moon. We see in the parasha in Bereishit, right? God created luminaries. The luminaries, one was called the sun and one was called the moon, and that made the day and the night. And he says, we have to fix that. Shehei b'chinat chama v'levana, shehei b'chinat Aspaklaria Hameira. Aspaklaria Hameira is what is the state of consciousness that is attributed that's attributed to prophets, right? And to Moshe Rabbeinu especially. And then Aspaklaria She'ena Meira, that's the lower level of prophecy. She'en Bechinat Dore Malo. The Heirat Dore Mata. Dore Malo Vedore Mata. You remember that? That phrase?
Yeah.
From?
Kedusha of Mitzvah Sparb.
Kedusha of?
Oh.
What? Yom Kippur? I.e. Rosh Hashanah. I.e. Unisana Tokif. Unisana Tokif.
Is that written? Oh.
What? Sanatokim is the it's like the most beloved piyut that we have. No attempt to get rid of the Sanatokim from the Siddur was successful.
I thought
this Svarim
don't say it.
Oh, the Svarim. Some Svarim. Some Svarim don't say it, but most of them do. And the Bala Tanya tried to take it out of the Siddur, but the people kept saying it. So in that, Nesana Tokev is an introduction to Kedusha. It's an introduction to Kedusha. Kedusha starts with the words Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. That's Kedusha. So before that, the end of Nesana Tokev refers to Dore Malo and Dore Mata. As you say, there's a terrible situation in the world because there's the upper world and the lower world. We don't like that. What we want to do is fix it. What we want to do is fix it. We want to make it all one. Make it all one meaning we want to have days that are tmimot. We want days that are tmimot. In other words, again, I can't Svirata Omer, because Svirata Omer has an independent importance for us. And the independent importance of Svirata Omer is that we can make the days into Tmimot. And making the days into Tmimot means that we neutralize the distinction between day and night. And that's why we have to count every day at night, at the beginning of the day, so that the day begins from the night. Meaning that's the way we want the world to be. So that we not only count, according to Rav Nosson, we're not only counting the Omer to find out where we end up, but we're counting the Omer in order to determine that there's a better world that we would like to be a part of. And that's why we count the Omer at the beginning of the day, which is the nighttime. Even though many mitzvot we do during the daytime, like Netilat Lulav, for example. We only take the Lulav during the day. You know, people are wide awake and happy. Okay? Okay. Now, Bechinat Arat, the Or of Dore Malov, Be'arat Dore Mato, Kemuvan Be'atorah Hanal, Shekol Zeh Bechinat Svira. All of this, all the things I've said up to now about the davening, about the night, about the day, all of this has to do with Svira. Svirat Omer means Bechinat Uspardim Lachem Sheva Shabbatot Timiot Yena, that pasuk Shetzrichim Lispor HaYamim. Why do we count the days? Kidei Shekol Yom VaYom Yeyeh Ze Bechinat Svira. Bechinat Usfartum Lachem Sheva Shabbatot Shetzuchim Lispor Yavim Kedei Shekol. I'm sorry, I went back over the same line. כדי שכל יום ויום יהיה תמים בשלם, על ידי שכל יום ולילה יחד, I put them together, the day and the night. Because I'm working against reality. I'm trying to change something. I'm trying to show you that it could happen. It could happen, right? And the Rambam says, there's a halacha of the Rambam, that the nighttime is the time for learning Torah. It's quiet. Quiet in the street. The buses stop running eventually. What does he say? That even though Torah is always connected to light, right? There are many, many statements of Chazal that equate Talmud Torah with light. Nevertheless, the best time for Talmud Torah is at night. Which means, according to Rav Nosson, that you could turn the night into day, or into light, the darkness into light, by learning Torah. So that even though it's interesting that each day we count at the beginning of the night in order to include the night and the day in our kind of wish for a different kind of world, it all leads us to Shavuot, which became, right, it's not in the Torah, but it became the day of Matan Torah, the holiday of Matan Torah. It's interesting. It happened on its own. I wouldn't say it's like Lag BaOmer, but I just want you to say that sometimes things happen on their own. They happen on their own. Okay. Okay. It's enough. Have a good Shabbos.
So I guess that explains the week. Pray that in Kiddush Levana that the light of the moon should be like the light of the sun, then we'll have this, I guess it ended
good, good, thank you. He didn't quote that, but that's good.
I, being a Litvak, when I read that in Kiddush Levana, I said,